This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis.
Hello there. This is episode number 110. Of the Out of Bounds podcast. My name is Adam Jabber. I am your host, and we've got a great episode for you today. I guess it was last night. I chatted, and for you guys, it's like 5 days ago. I chatted with Tom Sampson. Tom Sampson is a professional bicycle rider. He's also a ski racing coach at Stratton and a bunch of other things. And now he's building vans, and we talk about all this stuff. He's a great dude. I'm really glad we got a chance to sit down and we talked about all kinds of stuff, including his career, what his training looks like because of COVID now, what he's doing because of COVID. I mean, as a bike racer, like the main thing that you do is race bikes. And if there's no bike racing, what happens? So we talk about that. Talk about a lot of stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Before we jump into the episode, a couple quick things. One, we are starting a new kind of a new format. It'll start this week. Basically, it's just going to be like a weekly update style show where it's just an episode of me. Maybe every once in a while we'll have a guest on it, just talking about current events, things going on in the ski, bike, outdoor world, things that affect the industry, and hopefully make it fun. And those will all be recorded, hopefully, and go on YouTube as well. Since we have a studio space now. So look forward to that. Those will hopefully come out on Wednesdays. We're going to try to do the regular episodes on Mondays. So you'll be hearing a lot of my voice, theoretically, going forward. The other thing I wanted to mention is just a quick sponsor. I mean, basically, we have three running sponsors right now, and Sowatch Hemp is one of them. Sowatch is a company we've been working with for the last year, 2 years, something like that. They make some of the best CBD products out there. I have been riding my bike a ton this month, especially my road bike, as reluctant as I am to do that kind of thing. I've been riding my road bike a ton, so everything is sore. So I've been using the tincture and the salve, which is like the rub-on stuff, a ton, especially the rub-on. Like, I've been like dousing myself in that every day before a ride, after a ride. It actually makes a huge, huge difference. And it's not just because they give me a check to say so. It actually makes a huge difference. And like, honestly, I'm all for taking money. I don't think I would be able to just sit here and be like, yeah, it does something, and it not doing it. Like, it legit works. So I hope you guys get the chance to try it. If you want to try some, just go to www.sawatch.co and use promo code Out of Bounds to save 15% off your purchase. They come in a bunch of different flavors or styles or smells or whatever we're going to call them, and also strength. So try that stuff out. Let me know what you think. Hit my line, hit my DMs, hit my emails, for all those things. We also have an episode with Steven Nyman coming out. If you have questions for Steven, let me know. My watch is blowing up right now. If you have any questions for Steven, let me know in either email form, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I don't really check Facebook. And honestly, Twitter is just me whining about a bunch of stuff. So if you have questions, shoot me an email, adam@outofpodcast.com, or like I said, a DM. All right, cool. Without further ado, this is Tom Sampson. Tom, tell people who you are, a little bit about yourself, the whole deal.
My name's Tom Sampson. Born in Vermont, raised in New Hampshire, professional mountain biker, kind of got my start in cross country, and I've migrated towards enduro and a little bit more adventure-y stuff, you know, like whatever takes me to a really cool place. That's kind of where I want to go.
Sick. Why did you like pause like that when you said professional mountain biker?
The term is funny. I get like, I guess we're all varying degrees of professional. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I travel and race at the World Cup level and professional level. So yeah,
you're a professional mountain biker. It's like, you can say it like it's nobody's yeah. judging you based on that.
Yeah.
You're faster than some guy that just rolls up on you randomly on the street usually, you know?
Yeah. You could say that.
Yeah, for sure. How'd you get into riding bikes? We talked a little bit about skiing already, but, and not on air. So we'll go back to that, but how'd you get into riding bikes first and foremost? And why'd you decide to make it a career choice?
Yeah, parents got me into it. They rode bikes and they real casually got me into racing. There was a pretty cool summer series in North Conway, New Hampshire. Like you'd win a cookie. Yeah. once a month, like started at 6 p.m. So we used to go up there when we were younger, and then eventually got into doing the New England local series, you know, a couple here and there, not like the whole thing, never any like USA Cycling junior camps or anything too intense. And I kind of just kept liking it. So I'd keep getting a little more serious, and it was kind of my own drive. So like I did a little slower than some people. Some people do like real intense when they're young, and then they end up burning out. So I'm kind of glad I did it at my own pace. But yeah, I just kept doing better. And when you do well at things, it's really fun. And then you want to do better at the next level and keep going up and up. And then all of a sudden you find yourself at like, you know, national series and World Cups. So yeah, I kind of just progressed at my own rate. Which got me to where I am now.
Has there like, what is that trajectory like? I mean, like how do you make that jump, I guess, from being like just guy who really likes to ride his bike to guy that actually wants to do this for a living? Other than just being good.
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on me because I was like end of high school. I did my first sort of national race. It was the Mount Snow Nationals. It was a national series race in Mount Snow, junior expert, did pretty well. Then I went to college and I was in the semi-pro category. And at that time they dissolved semi-pro and they gave the option, like you can race expert or you can race pro. Kind of a long story, but I ended up going expert and then moving up to pro. And I did my first pro race, and that was wild because like you hear big names you've always looked up to, like Todd Wells and Adam Craig and Jeremy Horgan Kobelski, and they're getting called the line, and then you're getting called the line. Granted, it's like 40 more people and then you, but like still I'm on the same line where the year before I was like banging on the boards watching those guys. Now I'm racing with them. That was cool. And yeah, eventually realized like, well, I'm going all these local races and it's me and like two other guys who are racing at the front. And I really like doing those big races. So I was like, I want to try another. And then a friend of mine who we raced and traveled a bunch, Peter Ostrowski, he was like, I think I want to do a World Cup. And that hadn't even crossed my mind because that's like, it's a World Cup. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I'm like, huh, really? Wow, Pete, he's like, yeah, we'd have to petition. I'm like, all right, I'll petition. Sure enough, we got in. Huh. And all of a sudden I'm in like the start line at Wyndham World Cup. And then I was like, oh, I think I want to like, let's see how far we can take this. Cause now all of a sudden I'm not at a Route 66 local race.
Right.
I'm at a World Cup and that's a big deal. And a lot of people find themselves on the pro category at a national series, but I don't think a lot of people don't do a World Cup. I had a lot of fun at that. I ended up over my head at the start. I went from last row to entering the woods with Adam Craig, which should have been a big red flag because I blew up like 5 minutes later, but it was awesome. I mean, like I made some ninja moves at the start and then all of a sudden I'm following Adam and I'm like, holy moly. And then he dropped me hard. And
do you think he knew that? Do you think he knew he was dropping you?
I don't even think he knew I was there.
Yeah.
that was like one of his last World Cups. He was on a single speed and baggy shorts. It's just Adam Craig things. But I don't know. It was like inspiring to be racing in that race. Then you get pulled and you watch the fastest guys go by you and you're like, holy moly, I'm not a big fish in a New England pond. I'm a tiny fish in a world pond.
Yeah.
And like, okay. And it was just inspiring. I was like, okay, I want to see how far we can go with this. Cause at that point I got there with like never any coaching, no real training. Like I'd train, but it was just,
you're just riding.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I got pretty far on my own. Let's see how far we go if we try.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I graduate college and that opens up possibilities of going to Arizona in the winter. And, you know, the more you work odd jobs, the more you learn how to make, you know, better money around your training, like that fits in with your training, which allows you to do more. So yeah, it just kind of snowballed very slowly.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of how I got to where I was. And it was cool. It was a little different because it was all on my own. Never any like USA Cycling camps or GoFundMe stuff. It was just me working odd jobs and doing what I can. Yeah.
That's one of the craziest things to me. And I think for a lot of people that listen to the show and in general, like just the fact that you're a professional mountain biker and like, but to get to that point, like, and even at this point, like for a lot of guys, they're still working odd jobs to make their career happen. You know, like they still have to do all of these extra things so that they can still do what they want to do. They can build these training blocks. Like, I mean, you're racing a World Cup. That's like pretty high level shit. And you're still like, you're working all these odd jobs to make sure that you have enough time to train, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, don't get me wrong. I'm still working odd jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's but what like, I'm saying. I didn't want to assume, but like most guys that I know are doing that, like even in a lot of cases in skiing too, but these are like kind of like traditionally old white guy sports, cycling and skiing. Sure. And both of them are things that like the guys who are the very best are getting paid. But then the majority of the guys like right there that are, you know, competing at a world level are still not making that kind of money, you know?
Oh yeah. And I've just gotten better at odd jobs. Like the local bike shop gave me a job when I was 15, which is awesome. But the more you work in bike shops, the more you learn it's not really the greatest timing because like the whole day you're working on bikes when you should be training.
Yeah.
So then I switched to working in a restaurant. Oh, now I can make way more money and I work at night.
Yeah.
Is it really hard? Yeah. Like I go to work at 4 and I work till 10:30, 11 on my feet the whole time. But now I have my whole day open to train.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've done carbon repair in Boulder, Colorado. My most recent thing, I was driving limos.
Really?
Yeah. It's not like stretch things, but just like fancy black cars, Cadillacs and Suburbans to the airport.
Did you get anybody cool?
Because, people who work for Twitter, the Musk family, not no Elon,
but you got the family.
His nephews I've driven a lot. Little, like just some young kids. Yeah, like really rich people in Boulder. But it was cool because I can like pretty much make my own schedule. And if I need to leave for 3 weeks, they don't care.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I got better at odd jobs. I just like slowly found things that pay better and leave me better time and flexibility for the biking.
Yeah.
And then I usually hustled in the winter if I wasn't going somewhere south. So like ski coaching was my thing. Coaching ski racing.
Yeah. What's the deal with that? How, like, you got into skiing the same way, I'm assuming, like you just started like skiing when you were a little kid, like, and you're in, I mean, obviously like it seems like everybody in New England has to do something in the winter. Like it's cold and it's boring and it's,
you need to do something. If you don't have something.
I don't know why you live here.
My dad was a career ski coach, program director at Stowe and, Heavenly Valley and,
sick.
Like worked with the US ski team for a bit. And so I got into skiing through him.
Yeah.
And kept going right through college because once you get to college, it actually gets way easier because they start paying for things.
Yeah.
Like all your races and travel are paid for. So it's actually like the cheapest ski racing ever is kind of in college.
Yeah.
And the coach would let me in the fall, like keep going biking as long as I did my lifting.
Huh.
You know, so I love ski racing. So in the winter, it can pay pretty good. You'd have to hustle in the winter. You work a lot.
Yeah.
But then it leaves you with decent money and you can work less in the summer. So I don't know. Everyone finds their own little hustle.
Yeah.
To make the biking work.
That's like for every professional skier that I've talked to, they're like, yeah, that's what I do in the summer, is like I just hustle my ass off all summer so that I can ski all winter, you know? So it's funny that it goes the opposite way sometimes.
Oh, totally. It's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very
different
game. The parallels are definitely there for sure. Do you still ski a bunch?
Yeah, a bit. So like I moved to New Zealand for one winter.
Okay.
Which was sweet, but I obviously didn't ski that year at all. I went to Aspen when I got back because I have a brother that lives there, and I got like 2 days of skiing. It was a really cool experience living there, but I missed skiing.
Yeah.
And then last year I coached at Stratton Mountain School, which was like just full on coaching all winter. So I got some skiing, but it was definitely a lot of work. So yeah, it's like, you know, East Coast winter.
Yeah.
A lot of cold gray days putting up gates on a race hill.
Yeah. Garbage snow conditions like almost every year, it feels like.
Yeah. I can tell you the runs I had that were fun, not the days.
Yeah, literally, because everybody's the runs. There. I wonder how they're going to deal. You know, I've been like harping on this, like, are they going to open? Like, what's going to happen? How are they going to make operations? But I wonder what they're going to do for Powdays. Like, I mean, that's like the thing that's going to be the biggest issue is like, what do you like? I mean, everybody's just going to buy ski touring gear, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how skiing can work.
Yeah.
It's because like at its core, when you go over a day at a resort, you're not skiing much. You're standing in a line a lot.
Yeah.
Standing in a line by nature is just standing really closely to other people.
Yeah.
I was at Stratton one day during when this all started, and at 10 a.m. they put a new rule in. We're half capacity on lifts, so three people on the six pack. And if I didn't have to take that six pack to get back to my car, I would have left right there on the spot. It was like a 45-minute lift line.
No way.
So I don't know.
Tom, this is bad news.
Yeah, I didn't.
This is not. I was looking for you to be like, oh, dude, here, this is how we do it. It's done. Like, it's super easy. But I guess if you had that answer, you probably would have went to, like, Vail.
Maybe they have a better solution this year. This was, like, first week of COVID. Stratton Mountain School just shut down.
I don't think they do. Like, because...
No,
I think the best
Aspen
solution
said that too.
Yeah, right.
Aspen's
dude.
Doing like low capacity lifts.
That's what. So like Thunder is doing like basically like you can only ride the chair with people you came there with, right? And like it hasn't been bad. They've kind of figured it out because they're also selling tickets in advance. Like that works because there's not that many season pass holders, but like the majority of ski mountains are like people that hold a season pass there or an icon pass or an epic pass or a ski coach. I don't know what they're like. How do you book a day? And then what happens when you're like, all right, cool, see it. Do you have to like check out? Like, I don't, it's, yeah, it's fucked.
I don't know. I opted not to coach this year because I really just want to enjoy skiing and not working.
Are you into ski touring at all? Like, is that a thing you're going to be like?
I've really enjoyed it out west. Like, I always did it on my way to Tucson to train. And like, I was out in Colorado or California one winter and I did some. I haven't done much in the East.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
You're in.
We'll see if I'm in the East. I really don't know. I don't have plans.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't think anyone knows what's going on with life, but I definitely don't know.
Yeah. You're just like, cool. You're just like floating around and figuring out what's going to happen. That's a.
Yeah. I'm
jealous.
Totally
going
with the flow.
I'm super jealous. And you got a van. Yeah. We should talk about the van because I think the van's cool.
Yep. I needed a COVID project. And I was like, I had been looking at vans for a while and I wanted a very specific one, like a Transit with an EcoBoost motor and not a super long one. And there's like three on sale at a time in the country. They're like non-existent.
Yeah.
And I found one in New York, great price. And I said, screw it. And I just pulled the trigger and I did it. So yeah, now I'm working on building out a van. I am so lucky. A friend of mine from college has a van building company right near my house. And he's let me use his shop. It's called Exploration Van Works. Now I'm actually working for him. This is what I mean when I'm just going with the flow. Like I have no plan. Started
dude,
by using
like
his shop.
Dude, you acquired a puppy too. Like what's the deal?
Oh, it's not my puppy.
Okay. Whose puppy is it?
It's the van shop owner's, Nick's.
Oh
so,
my
like,
God. It's so cute.
It's ridiculous. Like, and I... It... some people might get sick of puppy content, but that little thing is insanely cute.
Oh my
God. And let's be honest, everyone, if you're on the internet, you want to see a picture of a bike not being ridden. You want to see it like a gear shot or a puppy. Yeah. Like that's all people want to see. So I'm just giving the people what they want.
And I mean, if they're sick of it, you won't, you have like your message thing turned off. So like people can't send you like dumb comments like about puppies. So like people can't say, you don't even know if people are like, yeah, puppies or no puppies.
Which I don't, I'm not very good at Instagram. I have no idea how to change that. People like will just direct message me. They're like, I couldn't comment, but, and I'm like, I don't, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Honestly, I thought about it and I thought you were doing it intentionally. And I was like, you know what? It's probably cause he just gets up. Cause like every time I post something, I get a bunch of like my friends a lot too. And also just random people that are just like, oh, like nice shoes, bro. Like weird shit that I'm just like we could have lived without this comment, you know, like I thought you were doing it for that reason. And I was like, good on him. That's super smart. Like, I don't blame you at all, you know?
No, I just don't know how to change it. It's not like, it's really simple.
Yeah, it's probably
which
one.
Is all right. Like, my whole Instagram, let's call it my style, is like real basic and kind of dumb. But I hope people notice that I'm just like, it's, we're making stories on Instagram. Like, none of this is serious.
Yeah.
So, might as well have a good time with it.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to put puppies up. Summary.
How important is using your social media to like for your sponsors, like for say Yeti, for example, like do they care about you? Like how many times you post, do they require you to do these kind of things?
No, sponsors definitely want you to use that. But I also tell them like, I'm not turning that into an ad. Cause I think as soon as you're like the thing I hate most when people get a box of new goodies and they just take a picture of the box full of stuff and then go, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's
lazy.
Okay. It lost all of its message and nobody cares. Like, cause they just know you got it for free.
Yeah.
Which everyone in the back of their head knows we got whatever we're trying to, you know, pump up.
Right.
We got it at some sort of bargain deal, free discount, whatever. But I hate it looking like an ad.
Mm.
Like I'll tag them in it. Like if I put a new tire on and I'm stoked on it, I'll take a photo of my bike and it'll be a cool photo. It'll be something worth looking at.
Right.
But it'll also be like, yo, I just tried this new tire and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've been riding this tire for 3 weeks and it's sick in these conditions. I don't know. I try to make it somewhat helpful without trying to sound like an ad.
Yeah.
Which is tough. But it's also important to use. Like, that's the easiest way to reach hundreds of people, or if you're big enough, thousands of people really quickly in a slightly engaging way. And it's all, like, you know, no more than 5 seconds of attention needed, which is all we have these days, I think.
Oh, yeah, if that. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, good. So, like, you have someone's attention for 5 seconds. The best way to do it is to, like, throw a picture up and, you know, this is what I'm using. I'm just not ever going to. I'm trying not to make it an ad, like,
because I think respect that. And I think it's probably pretty easy to not make it super addy for you because like you have hard good stuff. Like that's what you're dealing. Like that's so like nobody gives a shit about like it'd be like taking a picture of your bike still in the box. Like nobody really cares about the bike in the box. They care about the bike on like on a trail in the woods. Like that's way more important, not only to you, but also to whoever's viewing. They want to know what you think, how the suspension works. I can't even imagine riding for a company like Yeti that has like a suspension design that's like very like it's nice to take pictures of, I guess. And people are going to be like, whoa, what do the two little baby shocks do? Like, what are those things? Like, I just like.
And I've explained that numerous times over Instagram, which is good.
Yeah, right. Like, that's what they want you to do.
Reach out and be like, what do you think? Or I had recently a guy go like, hey, man, I'm looking at getting SB100. What size should I get?
Yeah.
And I was able to help him, which is cool because like the 100 fits a little different than the other bikes.
Yeah.
So I have like, I actually have different sizing advice for this guy for the 100 versus the 130 or 150.
Right.
So and that was sweet. But I was like, and I'm glad people can reach out, but that's why that Instagram is helpful.
Right.
Is you can directly contact those people.
Right.
Or they can contact you and I can, you know, like I'm psyched to help them.
Right.
Cause I can give them advice, or people ask me all the time, like, what should I get, 130 or 150? I'll tell you all day. It's easy. It takes me 10 seconds to give you some just good advice, and it's such an easier way for people to reach out.
No, I agree. I mean, that's honestly like, that's my favorite part too, is like, for me, I mean, maybe it's not your favorite part, but it's my favorite part. Like when somebody's like, oh, like I want to use this stuff for like for this reason in this area. Like, can you help me? Like, and they just want to get better at what they're doing. They want to have more fun. Like, that's actually like what I think a sponsor is there for. Like if somebody's like, what ski should I pick? You know, I'm just like, that gets me more excited, I guess, about, you know, whatever brand it is that I'm working with for the show. And it's just, it's a nice thing. It really is.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's valuable because, you know, you can ask, you can call up Yeti. Someone's going to answer the phone unless it's between 11:30 and 1 p.m. They're out lunch riding. Hmm. But someone will answer the phone and you can ask them, hey, what size bike should I get? Or what, you know, what bike should I get? And they can give you some answer. But if, you know, some guy from Massachusetts wants to know what bike he should get for riding in Massachusetts, but he'll also go to North Conway, New Hampshire a bit and a little to Burke, Vermont, they, you know, he's going to hit me up and be like, what do you think? Well, I've ridden all those. I can give him like direct, you know, I've ridden all those places. I can tell them what I think would be best.
Mm.
And it's, I don't know, it's handy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely nice. Yeah. North Conway is, I don't know if it's this year it's blowing, but like I rode with like Ryan Murphy, who's like a North Conway local up there, but all that stuff. And it's so fucking good. Like, and I didn't even know how good it was. I had like kind of heard that it was good up there, but like I didn't realize how good it was. And now like there's like pink bike articles and like all kinds of videos coming out, and it's like it seems like that spot is getting blown up with people right now.
Yeah, it's been cool. I've been riding up there for a long time, and some of those trails are 15 years old.
Yeah.
Like those aren't new trails. But it has, over the last 5-6 years, they've gotten more and more organized with trail crews and doing trail work and working to legitimize trails.
Right.
And they put together, then they started doing fundraisers for trail building. They work on getting grants from the state and these different trail organizations. And that has all culminated in like a lot of work getting done. And now they've broken away from NEMBA and they started doing their own thing, kind of like you see at Kingdom Trails or any number of popular mountain bike areas. And that's just going to speed everything up because you don't have to deal with much. Like, you don't have to deal with passing these, you know, through boards and who knows what NEMBA does. And I'm not saying they're not helpful in some areas, but like Conway's able to get so much more done on their own with their like driven crew of people.
Right.
And that's what separates them from any other number of places in New England. Cause New England is so stacked with trails. Like I just in my hometown found a 1000 foot descent, 2 1000 foot descents and another almost 1300 foot descent, but nobody knows about them. Cause there's no trail crews. There's no signage. There's no trail forks. There's no one pushing it.
Right.
Where Conway has the people pushing it. Right. And they have like just a dedicated group of people who are like, let's make sweet trails for everyone.
Huh. Yeah. There's so much riding here.
Yeah. It would be so cool if all the areas had the kind of drive Conway has.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly they're blessed with like a great, like, elevation and like, it's a good place for big gravity trails.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps. But the biggest thing is they have driven people.
I also think like because of things like Trail Forks and Strava, people are more motivated to make what they have in their yard better. You know, like I've seen it in like in town here, like we have some trails that were like a dump like 5 years, like it's all double track, all fire roads, and now like everybody's in there, there's like legit ass signage, like brand new trails, like stuff that connects to the old stuff, like using the existing like so it's happening here in West Springfield, Mass, you know, like, and it's happening in Connecticut, and it's like people are like, especially during COVID, which is good and bad, right? Like everybody's wanting to go travel to these new trailheads, right? Like they're going they want to explore. Like they're bored. They want to like go find places to go ride their bike. And I think because of things like Trail Forks, it's becoming so easy to do that. Like you can find stuff that you would have never guessed was there. It, like anybody can. Like it's so easy. Like I'm not very tech savvy. I open Trail Forks and I just see a bunch of squiggly lines and I get confused and then I just go ride. Like I don't know how to use it well. But there's guys that I know that are like, oh, you just pull out Trail Forks and you go here and I found all the cool trends. I'm just like, how did you do that? Like, it's like, I need somebody to take me there, you know? Like, I need a physical human to take me around. Otherwise, I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah, I had a guy recently who I had never met, but we met riding in Woodstock, Vermont. And he goes, oh, actually, I've been Strava stalking you. I found my way around all your local trails. They're really good. None of my local trails are on Trail Forks or anything. It's only my Strava he uses, which I think is great. Like we have a lot of local dudes who want to hide the trails and keep everyone out. But it's like, hey guys, like the internet's out there. Everyone knows about these trails. If they just look on Strava and heat maps, and they're doing it. They're here. You're not going to hide them. Yeah. Accept it. Move on.
Yeah.
Which I kind of battle with a bit. Cause I'm like, God, like these are great trails. This is a losing battle. You guys are fighting.
And there's no reason to do it. Like, why? Like, there's so many better battles to go fight.
Yeah.
Then these are my trails.
My local trails are heinous. Yeah. They're so hard. They're brutally hard, and the best riders will enjoy them.
Yeah.
But if you're like intermediate or below, you're not gonna enjoy them. So they'll come once, they'll ride the trails, and then they're gonna leave and not come back. Which, I mean, if you're a really good rider, you'll love the Plymouth region.
Yeah.
If you're not, I'd find somewhere else to go because they're just so techie.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But I don't know. There's some, I think the old attitude of hide my trails needs to leave.
Yeah. There's still a lot of dudes in their 50s and 60s that are riding that, like, you know, they started a trailhead, you know, 30 years ago when mountain bikes were rigid and had rim brakes. But it's like, okay, like you drop the rim brakes, right? Like, so drop the idea that you're hiding all this shit. Like the feds aren't coming, you know, like nobody's going to like come and axe down your shit. Like it's not going to happen.
No.
So,
yeah, it's I think it's slowly a dying thing, but it's taking time.
Yeah. So I'm trying to not talk about COVID at all. like with everybody that comes on, but like, you know, it's the reality right now. How has it changed? Like there's no racing this year, really. Like nothing serious at least, and definitely nothing consistent. At least it doesn't seem like to me. What has your training looked like? How has that affected your season? Like, what do you do now, Tom?
It's affected everything.
Yeah.
So I was living in Boulder, Colorado last summer. And then pretty late in the summer, I took a job at Stratton Mountain School in Vermont. My plan was come here, work all winter, and then move back to Boulder. But then COVID happened, which kind of messed up some of my return plans and basically where I was going to live there. So I ended up moving back to New Hampshire, where I'm from. And I've been just kind of riding and working on my van, and that's kind of my plan for at least the next month or two. As far as training goes, it's not structured. It's kind of whatever I want to do. In the spring, it was looking like a lot of really long road rides. I was just enjoying that. And then the mountain biking got really good, and I haven't touched the road bike much in a while. It's actually been really fun though, because I've explored so many trails that I haven't ridden ever. The East Coast crew is really fast, and there's a lot of us, and they're all awesome people. So we've been meeting up on the weekends and riding trails, meeting Conway one weekend, we'll do Vermont the next. We did Thunder last Sunday. And we just kind of make a plan. I'll meet up this weekend. We're meeting in the Plymouth area, and you ride with these really fast people. They all show you their trails. So I've been doing a ton of driving around on the weekend and riding with all the buddies, which has been really cool. I get to explore local. Yeah. And it's kind of ride whatever I want. Recently I've been trail building, cause I found this new zone. I'm like, I want another trail here. So I go trail building. and it's been good. So you stay fit without structure. It's not really any racing this year. Kind of putting together some media projects for the fall, but that's it. We're not even allowed to go to Europe. Well, we are allowed to go to Europe to race, but you have to go there and quarantine, and then you add 2 weeks to your trip. It's not even worth it.
Yeah, that's tough. And it's expensive.
It's so expensive. Yeah, yeah. So I think the only race opportunity is possibly Trans Sierra Norte, which I'd really like to do, but I'm not sure if that's a reasonable thing this year. Yeah. Because it does worry me a little bit traveling. It's a little sketchy.
It definitely is a little sketchy. I mean, rightfully so. Like, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a lot of riding with all the local friends, checking out new trails, building new trails, and waiting it out till next year.
Yeah. Well, I guess...
Which isn't terrible.
No, I don't think it's terrible. I mean, it is...
I'm in New England. It's sick.
Yeah. The riding's all good. I mean, so... Yeah, there's so much good riding right now. Like, that's one of the things actually that this has done for me is, like, I'm getting to ride way more than I normally get to ride, because I'm normally just, like, in the shop all hours of the day. And granted, like, it's a bike shop, so, like, we are super busy, but you kind of have the corona excuse now is, like, what I'm calling. So, like, we can just be like, we're 2 weeks out. We're 3 weeks out. We're busy right now. Like, things are just so busy right now. Like, we can't, like... It's like a faucet that won't shut off. So there's never going to be service. Like, the service isn't going to stop coming in this summer. So we've basically just accepted that, like, we're going to have to live at 2 to 3 week out periods for service until people stop wanting to ride bikes and buy bikes. And so that's been its own kind of challenge, I guess. But yeah, it's allowed me to ride my bike a shit ton. Like, I think I don't know if I rode Thunder at all last year, like, because I just straight up didn't have the time. We were open 7 days, now we're open 6 days. I got to ride Thunder actually last Sunday as well, and it's been great. Like, it's been rad.
Yeah, and Thunder is world class.
It's so good, dude. It's so much fun.
The single track trails are unreal, and they don't feel like beat up bike park.
No,
they're so good, and then the jumps are insane.
Yeah,
it's so good, and it's cool getting to have time to do things like that. That's the day. Like, I was here in a normal summer of racing. You know, you'd be traveling some weeks, and the weeks you weren't, I'd be here training. I wouldn't get to drive around New England and ride my bike as much, because it would probably be a race weekend.
Yeah.
So instead, like, I'll just explore. Actually, to quote a friend of mine when we were up in Conway, he goes, we just loaded like 6 people into a truck to drive up to the top. And he goes, guys, remember when we used to pay money to do this and we didn't have this much fun? And then we all thought, we're like, it's not entirely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, this is sweet.
It's true.
So we've been enjoying it. I want to go racing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But man, it's been a lot of fun not racing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking weird, man. I do hope it goes back to normal, but I'm glad we have this time. Like, it actually hasn't been, I mean, for me, I'm sure for some people listening to this, like, fuck you, Adam. Like, this is the worst time of my entire life, but it hasn't been that bad for us, at least in, like, this Western Mass area. Like, we've kind of kept it somewhat in control, and it seems like everybody's okay. So I hope that part of it continues as well.
Yeah, we are in a lucky area. Western Mass, Vermont, New Hampshire are pretty safe.
Yeah.
I mean, most people are wearing face masks, which is great. And
more importantly,
plenty of places to be outside.
More importantly, people believe that face masks are a thing and that Corona's a thing. Like, there's so many areas you could be in. Imagine being you or I, like, in a town where people were like, coronavirus isn't real. It's made by the government. You know, like, that kind of shit. Like, just,
yeah.
I can't even imagine dealing with that.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, looking at, because I'd like to get out of New England for the winter. I was just looking at Boulder, and it's like, you know, there's way more coronavirus there, and it's on fire.
Yeah, and it's literally on fire.
I was just thinking, well, next week looks like all rain, which means I got to go ride in the mud, which is sick.
Yeah.
That I know I'm in an okay place. I can't complain that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely could be worse.
Yeah. So it's been good.
Cool. Tom, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find any more information about you if they want to follow you on the gram, on Facebook, Strava, whatever? Feel free, plug away.
Probably Instagram is the best place. TomSamson3, because that's what I let Instagram pick my name. I got sick of trying to come up with a clever name and it just suggested TomSamson3. So that's it. TomSamson3 on Instagram. I don't really use Twitter. You can follow me on Strava. It's my name. Cool. Pretty simple.
Find them. Beautiful. All right. That was episode number 110 with Tom Samson. I hope you guys enjoyed it, I guess, at this point, if you're still listening. Be sure to follow him on social media. It is just TomSamson3. And then you also can follow us on social media at Out of Podcast. Follow us on the YouTubes, on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, you know, the whole deal. Thank you to Sawatch Hemp for sponsoring this episode of the show. You can go to www.sawatch.co to save 15, and then use promo code Out of Bounds to save 15% off on your purchase. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys in a couple days. Thanks. Bye.